WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 20th of January, 2021. My name is Arthur, and this is the grand hour here on 91.5 FM. And or WMFO.org. The last couple of weeks, I've been playing the writer, director, producer, Jack Johnstone. Well, this week, I'm deciding to feature an actor of some notoriety, Peter Lorre. I'm going to start things off with episode 101 of the famous CBS drama Suspense. This one's titled Of Maestro and Men from the 20th of July, 1944. Thanks.
Roma Wines present Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine. Made in California. For enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you a stars and old friend of these proceedings, Mr. Peter Lorre, and a newcomer, Mr. Richard Conti. For their appearance tonight, Joe Eisinger has written an original suspense play with sporting blood in its veins, and in which death has a ringside seat. Its title, with apologies to Mr. Steinbeck, is Of Maestro and Man. And so, with the performance of Peter Lorre as the maestro and of Richard Conti as the man, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
And the number is 8. Ada from Decatur. Get aboard, boys. Speculate so you can accumulate. Put down a handful, pick up a hatful. And he throws a 5. The money is 8. Make the point and break the joint. 7-1 the hard way. The man wants 2 4s. He'll make it the hard way. He's got a hunch. He bets a bunch. Get aboard, boys. And the dice read. Days in the week. 7 and the man's down. Pass the dice and make some ice. Everybody plays and everybody wins. Lay it on the line. We pay it on the line. 3-2, a 6 or an 8. Even money, 10 or 4. I lay it and take it. Right or wrong, I go along.
That's tough one to lose, maestro.
Mr. Cripp.
Did I frighten you?
Oh, no. It's just that I didn't...
Maybe your nerves need looking over, maestro. I think I'd have jitters, too, if I dropped a bundle like you did tonight.
What time is it?
3 in the a.m., maestro. Too late to play again.
Oh, please, another hour. Huh?
I don't mean the time. I mean, I think I got enough of your paper for one night. Huh? My stick man just handed me these tabs, 15G.
You know that my IOUs are good, Mr. Cripp. You know that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You ever see my private office, maestro? Hmm? Right this way. Sit down, maestro.
Well, it's growing late and
this'll only take a minute. How's Ricky?
Hmm? Oh, Ricky. He's in the mountains. He has a vacation, a little rest.
You know, it's a great little welter, that Ricky Martin. Punched like a heavy, feet like a flyweight. Yeah, fine boy to have in your stable.
I don't have what you call a stable, Mr. Cripp. Ricky Martin is all I've got.
Yeah. All my life I dreamed of having a boy like Ricky Martin. Not for the money, not for what he'd bring just to own him. Like a fast horse carrying your colors. He leaves them all behind. You know, I'd be willing to trade you any three of my boys for Ricky Martin.
Well, that's very generous of you, Mr. Cripp, but I don't think
you would. Well, you're a lucky man, Maestro, finding a boy like that.
Yes, I am.
I sometimes wonder how you did it. You haven't been in the fight game long in this town. I remember the first time I see you and your boy hanging around the garden.
Yes, that's right. The fighting profession is still a little strange to me. You see, all my life I've been an impresario, you might say. In Paris, in Brussels, Vienna, ballet, opera, plays. And when I came to this country and found Ricky, I could see that here was a...
Yeah, you could see, all right. Cigar?
Thank you.
There you are. I always say there's nothing like a good cigar to promote good feeling in a business talk.
Business talk? What do you mean?
A little matter of 32G.
Oh.
17 you dropped last week and 15 tonight.
Yes, my luck has been a little bit of...
You know, that's a very impressive signature you got, Maestro. Like a professor or something. All those curls and loops, very impressive. Looks like $1 million on these tabs. I'm sure it's good for 32G.
Of course it...
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Well, if that's all, Mr. Cripp,
That's all, Maestro.
Well, then, good night, Mr. Cripp.
Just a minute, my friend. You're leaving something behind.
What?
Your IOUs.
I don't understand.
I figure I got enough of your paper. I want my money now.
I can't. I haven't...
get it.
I must have time.
I run a cash business.
But you gave me credit.
You got assets.
What?
Ricky Martin.
No.
Then pay.
No. I won't let you steal him from me. He's mine. Do you hear me? He's mine. I found him. I built him. And you can't steal him from me.
I want that boy.
No. I love him like a brother.
Nuts, you'll swindle him on every fight.
I won't give him up.
Then you'll pay my collectors 32G.
But it's a gambling debt you can't collect.
My collectors don't carry a summons. A barrel and 50 pounds of cement.
All right, Mr. Cripp. You leave me no arguments. And you have added greatly to my education.
I don't think there's much I can teach you, Maestro. Only this time I'm out in front. I'll show you I'm a generous man. Honest John Cripp. Run an honest game and I make a square deal. 50G for the boy. 32 in tabs, 18 in cash. No beefs later.
Thank you.
I was sure you'd be sensible about this, Maestro. I had the contract drawn up. Just put that impressive signature on the dotted line.
May I use your pen?
Sure.
Thank you. There you are, Mr. Cripp.
Ricky Martin now belongs to me.
Mm-hmm. Your pen writes very easily.
You can keep it, part of the deal.
Thank you. I shall treasure it as the most expensive pen in the world.
How soon will Ricky be back in town?
I expect him in my office tomorrow.
Good. You'll tell him he now belongs to honest John Cripp.
Yes, I'll tell him. You know, Mr. Cripp, I don't think Ricky Martin is going to like being owned by you.
You just leave that worry to me, Maestro. I have a way of making people like me. Even if it kills them.
Night for Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you the play called Of Maestro and Man. You have heard Peter Lorre in the prologue to this study in Suspense.
And now for a moment, let's conjure up a scene of our own. Let's imagine ourselves in sun-drenched Havana. Let's imagine that we're dining in the gay Club Montmartre. As you listen to the music, you put down your wine glass to tell our host how much you enjoy his hospitality. Part of the credit belongs to Cuba, he smilingly acknowledges, but part of the credit belongs also to your country for producing this excellent wine which adds so much to our enjoyment. For this is Roma wine from California in your own USA. Now, it is a fact that connoisseurs of many other lands know the excellence of Roma wines, made in famous wineries located in the heart of the choice wine districts of California. But millions of Americans also know these things and have made Roma by far America's largest selling wine.
Here at home, Roma wines are truly inexpensive. No duty, no overseas shipping costs to pay. And for only pennies a glass, your meals, your entertaining, can have the added delight of superb Roma wines. You will find them of truly excellent flavor and character. Fine products of age-old winemaking skill, perfected by modern quality controls and tests. Ask for R-O-M-A, Roma wines, made in California, for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Peter Lorre as the maestro and Richard Conte as Ricky Martin in Of Maestro and Man, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Say, Ricky hasn't come yet?
Huh? Oh, no, boss. I've been sitting here in your office like you told me, but he ain't come and he ain't called.
I don't understand it. I can't. And his train arrived 2 hours ago.
Hello. Hello, Maestro. Sam.
Ricky. Who have you? Oh.
Maestro, this is Lynn Carter.
How do you do?
How do you do, Miss Carter?
And this is Sam Lynn. He was my trainer.
Hello.
Ricky has told me so much about you during the past 2 weeks that I feel like...
Yeah, you know how it is, Maestro. Out on a lake at night, the guy gets the rambling and...
I found it all very colorful.
Ricky, there's something I must tell you if Miss Carter will excuse us for it.
But there's something I must tell you, Maestro.
Hmm?
It's about Lynn and me.
You see, we...
What is it, Ricky?
Well, Lynn and me, we're gonna be married.
Married?
What?
Yeah, we just... When I met Lynn, I don't know how to tell you this, Maestro. You know how I feel about you.
Ricky, what are you trying to say? Tell me.
It's just that I...
Ricky is trying to tell you, Maestro, that he's quitting the ring.
Ricky's quitting the ring?
Ricky quitting?
I must, Maestro. I'm going away with Lynn to South America. Her father owns a... He wants us to live down there. I'm going to work for him.
But, Ricky... Ricky, you can't. Not now. I'm
sorry, Maestro, but don't make it tougher for me. You know I always wanted to quit, always hated it. Now I have a good reason. We're taking a plane to Rio tonight.
But you can't, Ricky. You can't run out on me like this.
I don't figure I'm running out on anybody.
But you don't know what's happened, Ricky. You can't quit. I sold you.
What?
To Crip.
The Crip? To that? Why didn't you ask me first?
I couldn't, Ricky.
Buying and selling me so much beef on the hook for so much a pound.
But you know...
Buy me and sell me until I can't take any more punishment and there's no buyer.
Ricky.
That's why I'm getting out. Lynn was right. 2-3 years in the Crip stable, I'm a punching bag for the new boys. A gibbering idiot like poor Sam here.
Who's your doctor?
I'm sorry, Sam. I just...
Don't call me. I'll kill you.
Shut up, Sam. So Lynn was right, huh? I knew it was her fault. I knew it the minute she walked in here, smelling of her perfume.
All right.
Yes, it's all your fault. Why didn't you leave him alone?
Maestro.
He's different from you. He's not your...
No.
You like the way he looked in the sun, in trunks, huh? These muscles and that beautiful body.
That's enough.
You just had to have him. You had to bring him back to show to your friends, huh? Great catch. You scheming, conniving, five cent...
Ricky, no! Sam, stop him. You'll kill him. Ricky!
Ricky!
He's choking!
All right. I'm all right now.
Oh, Ricky!
I should have killed him for that. Come on, let's get out of here.
Boss. You all right, boss?
Yes, sir. I am.
Well, he'll like to kill you, then. Your face is a funny color.
Come, Sam. Help me to the car.
Sure, boy. Sure. Hey. Are you all right now, boys?
Yes, sir. I'm all right now, Sam. You're a good boy, Sam.
Sure, Sam's a good boy. Sam's no rat, but Ricky's a rat. Huh, boss? Ricky's a rat.
Sam, we must do something. Sam.
Oh, sure, boss. That Ricky is a rat. He, He called me an idiot. I'll kill him, boss. Sam's a good boy. Yeah. He don't like for Ricky to do the boss no hate. I'll kill him.
No, Sam. Please, you must not get excited, Sam. We must think.
Sure, boss. Let's think. Your lip is all with bleed.
Yes, you're a good boy. He called you an idiot, yes, but you're a good boy, Sam.
I like when you pat me on the head like that, boy.
We have a problem, Sam. Mr. Cripp must not hear about Ricky quitting.
Ricky quitting, boys?
Something happened to Ricky. An accident. They happen every day, Sam.
Oh, sure. Accidents happen. Well, when I was
a
little boy, a
Cripp and say, it's a tragic thing, Mr. Cripp. Fine boy like that. You a boy, Mr. Cripp. You were a $50,000 boy, Mr. Cripp. It's a tragic thing, huh? Yes. Tragic finale to a promising career.
Oh, yeah, boys. That would be some tragic, some finale.
It must be an accident, Sam. Mr. Cripp must never be able to say. Do you understand that, Sam?
Oh, sure, but when I was a little boy,
Sam?
Yeah, boys?
Sam, in Langton's gym. You know what a main steam valve for the steam room is?
What, boys?
The valve, Sam. The one that lets the live steam into the steam room.
Oh, sure, boss. The gadget that the guy turns off and on the steam with, huh?
That's right,
Sam. Oh, sure, boss. It's under the stairs in the basement on the other side of the gym.
That's right.
You know, on the side where
yes,
the pipes...
Sam,
are...
yes. Do you think you could get under the stairs into the basement?
Oh, sure. Nobody cares if I go to the basement. Sometimes I go there...
Yes, Sam. And do you think you could open the valve as wide as it'll go?
Open the... For all the steam to go fast into the steam room?
Yes, Sam.
Oh, boy, that's some hot, all that steam, boys.
Yes,
hey, you can't stay in there all that hot. Did you was up the gym when poor Sharky got all the hot because the valve broke and the door was stuck? Did you was there when they brung him out? Boy, that was some looking dead Sharky, all right, all
yes,
right.
Yes, Sam, a very tragic accident.
Some tragic, all right, boy.
Sam, come here. Take my watch. Can you read the time?
Well, sure. What do you think? I'm a dumb...
Oh.
The little hand is on a 2, and the big hand is on a 6.
That's right.
And that means half past 2, no?
That's right, Sam. Now, look. When a little hand will be on a 5, see it? And a big hand on a 12 here. Huh? It'll be...
At 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Yeah, you see, I'm no dumb. 5 o'clock.
And at 5 o'clock, Sam, you must be in the basement at Langton's gym by the steam valve. And exactly 5 o'clock, Sam, you'll open the valve all the way.
For all the hot?
Yes, Sam, all the hot.
Oh, but you can't stay in... The Joe was up the gym when shot...
I won't be in the steam room, Sam. But Ricky will. Alone.
Shoreham Hotel.
Ricky Martin's apartment, please.
One moment, please.
Hello?
Ricky? Hello, Ricky. This
what do you
is...
want?
Ricky, please, I don't know how to begin, but I've got to see you. There is so much I want to say to
you. I'm sorry, Maestro.
Look, Ricky, please, just for a few minutes. Please, Ricky. Look, meet me at Langton's gymnasium, huh? Look, you have all your old boxing things
in the
locker room. I want you to give them to me. I want to keep them, Ricky, as a souvenir.
Well, okay, Maestro. Just for a few minutes, though. I have to meet Linda at the airport at 6.
Oh, thank you, Ricky.
Forget it. Meet you at Langton's in a half an hour.
Fine. Goodbye, Ricky. You'll come.
Ricky? And you'll get him in a steam room?
Yes, Sam. Yes. I'll get him into the steam room. And I'll sit there with him and talk to him. And talk to him about this and about that. With the steam thick around us, hiding us from each other. And when I begin to feel the live heat, Sam, at 5 o'clock, Sam, at 5 o'clock, I'll be talking about old times as I quietly slip out of the room. And he'll be sitting there alone, thinking of old times, not knowing I'm gone,
and that he's alone until it is too late. He will hear the sudden rush of steam and feel the scalding heat, and he'll run to the door, but it will not open, and he'll pound and scream in agony, but the door will stick, and each scream will draw burning steam into his lungs, and then they'll find him. But it'll be too late. Too late. It will be too late.
Oh, hello, Ricky. Hello. I'm so glad you came. See, I was just going to take my steam bath.
I had to wait until Lynn called me. I told her to meet us at the airport at 6.
Oh, good, good, good. Come, Ricky, let's go to the locker room, huh? Look, here is your old locker, Ricky. You have the key?
Yes. Here, you open it.
Oh, thank you. But first, Ricky, please, I want to tell you how I feel, how I've been so miserable because... You should have killed me, Ricky.
Maestro.
Yes, Ricky, I deserved it. But you see, I wasn't myself. You know that.
Let's forget it, Maestro. Go ahead, open the locker.
All right, thank you. See? Look. Your punching bag. Look, your trunks. Your gloves. And here, look here, Ricky, this pair. This pair you wore the night you beat Kit Foy. Wasn't that a fight, Ricky? How can we ever forget the third round? Remember what the newspaper said? Every word is burned into my memory. Last night, a new star of the ring was born. Ricky Martin, sensational new welcome.
Cut it, Maestro.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Ricky. I know how you feel. Ricky, are you sure? Isn't there one chance that you'll change your mind?
No, Maestro. Not a prayer. What time is it?
Well, it's only about 4:45. Come on, Ricky, don't you want to have your last team with the old maestro?
Well, I...
Come.
Well, okay, but remember, old maestro, 5:00's my deadline.
Oh, well, Ricky, that I guarantee you.
Say, who's around at this time of the day?
Huh? Oh, you.
Sam, I wanted to tell you how sorry I am.
Oh, sure, I'm sorry, all right. Call me a... Put on the boss a slug.
Come on, get
going. Oh, boy. You're going to be some hot sorry, all right.
Sam, stop mumbling. Get going.
Some hot, tragic finale, all right.
Get going.
Oh, that poor guy. See, Maestro, that's why I'm getting out now. I don't want to look like that in 5 years.
Here's your towel, Ricky. Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm ready. How much time we got?
Well, it's just a couple of minutes before 5. It's time for a quick steam and a shower, and then we meet Lynn. Huh?
Okay.
Good old steam room.
They really got that steam up today.
Yeah.
It's so thick you can't see your hand in front of you.
Yeah, but it's good for you. Come on here. Feel your way over here, Ricky. Come sit here with me on a second shower. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Just keep your head down and your eyes closed and relax like me.
Yes. Gee, this feels fine.
Yes. You'll begin to feel even better later. Tell me, Ricky. Tell me how you met Lynn.
Well, she was staying at the same hotel with her mother and father. He came up on business. A right guy, Maestro. You'd like him.
Yes, I'm sure I would.
One night I just found myself dancing with her. I don't know yet how it happened. But there we were. And after that, well, it seemed like there was nobody else in the world but we two. I don't know, Maestro, but suddenly I realized that what I wanted most in the world was right there. Something I can't remember having. Something I wanted all the time and with all my heart. I'm tired of hotel rooms and training camps and fight talk and no one and nothing to come home to. I love Lynn. I love her family. They love me. That's all there is, Maestro. I guess that's the crop for any man. Hey, it's getting kind of hot, Maestro.
Remember, Ricky, remember the day we first met?
Maestro, the steam is getting a little too much.
Remember, it was it was backstage at the Met. He wanted to be a ballet dancer. I must laugh when I think of those days. You had muscle and you had grace and you had power, but you didn't know what to do with them. And I show you. Not ballet. Years of sacrifice. For what? I found you and I found the ring and I brought the two of you together. And 1 year, you were near the top. Yes, it was a long year, Ricky, but we went through it together. Yes, I can't help feeling that your leaving is almost a tragic finale to a brilliant ring career.
A what?
Yes, a tragic finale. And then we got your first fight in New York. How nervous you were. Your New York debut. Not at the Met, to the music of Offenbach's Gaieté Parisienne, no. But at the Madison Square Garden, to the roar of 15,000 throats. And do you remember the last thing you said to me before you went into the ring? Remember? Ricky, where are you? Ricky, where are you, Ricky? Ricky, don't leave me here, Ricky. Ricky, come back. Please come back, Ricky. Open the door, Ricky. Don't leave me. Ricky! Ricky! My God!
Colonel Joy, attention please, flight 17, Pepper to Rio, ready. Flight 17, ready. Mr. Gluskin, Miss Thompson, Captain J. Stevens, Mr. and Mrs. Ricky Martin, flight 17, board please.
Ricky, here, hurry.
Hello, darling, sorry I'm late.
Come on, we've only got... Where's the maestro?
The maestro? I left him in the steam room at the gym. Slipped out on him, I couldn't take it. Poor guy's all broken up. He feels like it's, well, what he'd call a tragic finale.
Mr. and Mrs. Ricky Martin, board flight 17, please.
Come on, darling, let's go.
So closes up Maestro and Man, starring Peter Lorre with Richard Conte. Tonight's tale of suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. for that FCC obligation. This week, I'm featuring Peter Lorre, the actor. We heard in the first half of the program, episode 101 of Suspense of Maestro and Men from the 20th of July, 1944. The mid to late 40s, Peter Lorre wasn't really getting as many film roles as he had hoped, so he did turn to radio and, you know, typically was typecast as the villain along with Vincent Price, Bela Lugosi, and Boris Karloff. The first, he was actually caricaturized as Mr. Leech in the first season of Scooby-Doo, the Snow Ghost. So there's something, because only some that's interesting who Scooby-Doo chose to portray. He wasn't called Peter Lorre, but it had a striking resemblance. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio here in Medford. For the second half of the program, I'm going to play episode 12, Mystery in the Air. This is an Edgar Allan Poe story, The Black Cat. This had an original air date of the 18th of September, 1947. Thanks for listening.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, presented by Camel Cigarettes. Sentence of this court that you be hanged by the neck until you are dead, and may God have mercy on your soul.
No, I neither expect nor solicit belief for this wild story. I would be mad to expect it, yet mad I'm not, and very surely I do not dream, but while there is still time, I don't know why I feel compelled to report a series of mere household events and their consequences. These events have terrified, have tortured, have destroyed me. Perhaps some are more calm, more logical, but certainly far less excitable than I will be able to explain them. I cannot. I can only tell you the facts, and that I have to do today because tomorrow I die.
Each week at this time, Camel Cigarettes bring you Peter Lorre in the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, Edgar Allan Poe's immortal American classic, The Black Cat.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre. Brought to you by Camel Cigarettes. Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. Give your T-Zone the experience of enjoying a Camel. And see if you don't join the millions of other smokers who say, Camels suit my T-zone to a T. Your T-zone, that's T for taste and T for throat, is your true proving ground for any cigarette. See if Camel's rich, full flavor isn't a delightful experience for your taste. If Camel's cool mildness isn't more than welcome to your throat, try a Camel.
No, believe me, there was nothing, absolutely nothing in my childhood which forecast the terrible events that were to come. No, as a child, I was very gentle. I got along well with everyone, but most I liked animals, yes. All kinds of animals. And then I married quite young, and I was very happy to find that my wife shared my feelings. Very soon, we had quite a collection. Oh, we had birds and goldfish. We had a dog and some rabbits, and we had a cat. I'll never forget the day my wife brought it home. Hello, hello. You're home so early.
Look, Charles, look. Look what I brought.
Oh, look at it. Oh, the little kitty. Where did you get it, darling?
Oh, the poor little thing. Some dogs were chasing it, and I just rescued it in time.
Yes,
it was so frightened.
Yes, but it isn't frightened anymore.
Oh, it seems to love you, Charles. But then that's not strange. All animals do.
Yes. Nobody's going to hurt you, kitty, no. How about some milk, huh? Yes. There, you see? Oh, you must have been very hungry.
Yes.
Hey, what's your name, huh?
I don't suppose he has a name. He is so young. I don't think he belongs to anybody.
Well, then we have to give him a name.
You mean we can keep him?
Keep him? What are you talking about? He has no home. We can't turn him out in the streets, can we?
Oh, Charles, I was hoping you'd let him stay.
Of course, but he must have a name. Yes, let's see. Oh, you're so black. Yes, all black. Beautiful. Not a single white mark. Oh, I have it. He's as black as the devil. Let's call him Pluto. Yes, we'll call you Pluto. Well, Pluto grew up to be a remarkably beautiful cat, and of all the animals in our house, he became my favorite and my playmate, yes, and until it all changed, yes, and as the years went on, my character suffered a radical change, and everything changed. Huh? Why? Well, I'm ashamed. I hate to admit it. Through intemperance, yes, through intemperance. And then as drink became more and more necessary to me, I became more and more moody and irritable.
Charles? Where are you going?
I don't have to tell you where I'm going.
Oh, Charles, what's happening
to you? What do you mean, what's happening to me?
Well, you never used to go out every night to those vile
places. Please stop nagging. Stop it! I go out because I can't stand listening to you. Nag, nag, nag all day long.
I don't know what's come over you.
There. See? Why don't you learn from Pluto? It's only a cat. He doesn't ask me where I'm going. Yeah, that's right. You never do, no. Come here, Pluto. Yes, I like it. Come here.
Be careful, Charles. Don't pick him up like that. No, you're hurting him.
Him. I never hurt him. Ow! He bit me. He bit me. You devil. I'll show you.
Don't, Charles. Don't.
I'll show you. Beast. Yes, I hate to admit it, but I was so furious, I kicked Pluto, and I kicked him again, and hard, and the next morning, I saw that his ear was torn, and I was filled with remorse for what I'd done. From then on, Pluto ran away in terror whenever I approached, and that in turn made me more and more irritated, and in the end, it was sheer perverseness, nothing else, yes. Sheer and unexplainable perverseness that made me do what I did. Yeah, I blush to admit it, but one morning I strangled the poor animal. Yeah, I killed it only because I knew that it had loved me and because it had given me no reason for offense. No, I'm offering no excuse. I'm only recounting what happened. Well, in the evening, I went to the inn as usual, and I came home very late, and I fell fast asleep with my clothes on. Then I was awakened suddenly. Hey,
What's the matter here? Charles! Charles, wake up! Charles!
What's the matter?
There must be a fire. I smell smoke.
Good heavens, it's our house.
Oh.
Our house is burning. Come on, darling, come. We'll be trapped. Come on, hurry up. Quick. The stairs are on fire. There we go.
I can't.
Don't talk, sweetheart. Perhaps I can get you through the flames. Don't breathe, darling. Here's the front door. Yeah. We made it. We're safe.
Oh, Charles. Look, our house.
Anybody else in there?
No. Nobody else.
Just as well. Never could get them out now. Are you the owner?
Yes. That was our house.
Well, you haven't got much left then. We can't save it now.
Stand back! Stand back, everybody! The roof's gonna fall in! Stand back!
There it goes! Well, it's down now.
Funny, nothing is left but that one wall in the middle.
Look at it.
What about it?
Well, look at it on the wall.
Hey, that is strange.
What are you talking about? What's strange?
Oh, there on the wall. It's still standing.
Oh, marks on the plaster.
Marks? Huh? What marks?
Oh, what's the matter? You blind? Right up there on the wall, that black figure.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a cat.
Yeah, it does. The smoke must have done it, but it certainly does look like a cat.
What looks like a cat?
There, and it's got one floppy ear.
Who's got a floppy ear?
Funny,
huh? It's not funny. It is not funny at all, you hear? I know what it is. You know who it is? Yes, it's Pluto. I recognize him. Yes, there, see? His ear is torn, huh? Oh, you beast. That hideous beast. It's come back to haunt me. Leave me alone. You hear? I can't stand it. Okay.
Get some water, somebody. This man's fainted.
Black cat is dead, killed by its master. The house is burned to the ground, with everything in it completely destroyed. Now the scene is the almost deserted, candle-lit taproom of a local inn.
Don't you think you'd better go on home, sir?
Huh?
It's getting late.
Home, huh? You should see the terrible place where we're living now.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you. Lost everything in that fire.
Lost everything, yes. I lost everything. I lost my house. I lost everything.
Well, how about that black cat of yours you used to talk about all the time?
Huh?
What was his name?
What was his name? Pluto.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Pluto's gone, too. Oh, I tell you, I miss him. I miss him very much.
And if you miss him that much, why don't you get another cat?
Give me a drink.
It's getting pretty late, sir. I mean, well, won't your wife be expecting you?
Give me a drink.
Yes, sir. I'll have to fetch another bottle.
Why don't I get another cat, huh? That's what you said. Well, why don't I? No reason I shouldn't. There's no reason to be in the deeps of despair just because of a cat. If I get another cat, maybe I'll be able to forget her. What's that? Oh, there's a cat now. Yes, it's sitting on top of the table. Black cat, huh? That's strange. I've been staring at that table for 5 minutes. I could swear there was no cat on it. Hey, what? Where did you come from, huh? Oh, you're a beautiful cat, yes. You're just as black as Pluto, yeah, except you got a splotch of white on your chest. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Oh, yes, come sit on my lap, huh? Oh, yeah. Kitty, yes, you're a nice kitty, You're a nice cat.
Yeah. Here you are, sir.
Where did this cat come from?
Cat? Oh, yeah. A big one, isn't he? I don't know where it came from, or how it got in, either, for that matter. Never seen it around here before.
Don't know who it belongs to?
No, as far as I'm concerned, it belongs to you, if you want it. Can't keep it here. My wife doesn't like cats, especially black ones.
Like cats, huh? How stupid. Yeah. Say, I want it. Yes, sir. I want it very much. I'll take it home with me right now.
Charles, This is such a wonderful cat. Meow. Just since last week, it's made itself so much at home. Well, you think it had lived here always.
Yes, I've noticed that.
It reminds me so much of Pluto.
Yes, but this one has a patch of white on its chest. Don't forget that.
Yes, that's right, dear. But I can't help wondering. I wonder what ever became of Pluto. He disappeared the day of the fire.
I know he disappeared. And well, maybe he knew the house was going to burn down.
Oh, see how it loves you. It's rubbing against your leg, just the way Pluto used to.
Pluto! Stop talking about Pluto!
Darling, I didn't mean anything. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dear. I always talk about how much this new cat resembles Pluto. It just makes me nervous. Look, actually, there's hardly any resemblance at all, really. Except that they're both black. This one has a white patch on its chest and...
Oh, the poor thing. Charles, look, his ear is torn.
Huh?
See?
What?
Here, under the fur. Oh, I never noticed that before.
Neither did I.
Why, it's just the way Pluto's... I mean...
Go ahead, say it. It's torn, yes. Just the way Pluto's ear was torn when I kicked him, huh? That's it, isn't it?
Well, he must have been in a fight or something. But it's curious we didn't notice
curious,
it.
Curious, huh? You have no idea how curious it is. No idea. Get that cat out of my sight.
Charles, you're mad.
Get it out.
How can you act that way about a poor dumb animal?
Take it out.
Especially one
here.
That loves you so much. Oh, now you've frightened it, dear.
Get away from me, you hear me?
The way you talk, anybody think you don't even like the poor
like
cat.
Like it, huh? Like it. I hate it. I tell you, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Yes, in a short time the cat had been with us. I'd come to look upon it with unutterable loathing. Why, I don't know yet. The more I hated it, the more affectionate it acted toward me. Wherever I went, it followed. Whenever I sat down, it would spring upon my knees and cover me with its loathsome caresses, as if this were not enough, the white patch on its chest, which originally... It had been very indefinite in shape, but gradually it assumed a very definite outline, yes. The unmistakable and ghastly shape of the gallows. A terrible engine of horror, of agony, and of death. I longed to destroy the beast, but I was prevented by an absolute unreasonable dread. I was sure I was losing my mind.
Charles, are you going out again?
Yes, I'm going out. I don't know when I'll be back.
Oh. Before you go, do you suppose you...
Why, what is it?
Will you help me bring up some wood from the cellar?
Why do you always want more wood?
The house is cold. You know I haven't been feeling well. I'm not strong enough to carry it myself.
Strong enough. All right, come on, I'll help you. You might have thought of this before.
Look out!
What? Oh, that's cat. That's a beast again. It's always under my feet. It tried to trip me on the stairs.
Oh, no, I'm sure it didn't.
I'll get rid of that beast once and for all. I'll get...
Charles! Put down that crowbar.
Get out of my way.
No, no, stop.
I say get out of my way. Let go of my arm.
Please, Charles, you're
going to... Let go of my arm. Are you going to let go?
Oh, please.
I said let go. Why didn't you let me go? Yes, she'd fallen dead without a groan. My blind rage, my rage against the cat. I'd struck my wife and killed her. Well, nothing I can do about it now. All I could do was to set myself to the task of concealing the body. Yes, I thought and I deliberated, and then it occurred to me that, yes, in the Middle Ages, they used to wall up their victims, and I determined to do the same thing. Yes, behind the wall in a cellar. I managed to dislodge a section of bricks near the chimney, and in a hole behind them, I propped the body. Then I carefully laid the bricks back in their original position, and when I had finished, no one could have told that the wall had been disturbed at all. Well, I could say to myself triumphantly, here at least, my labor has not been in vain. My next step, then, was to look for the beast that had been a cause of so much misery, but then I became aware that it had completely disappeared. Huh? 3 days passed, and still my tormentor did not appear. Oh, it's impossible to describe or to imagine the deep sense of my relief. For the first time in months, I slept, yes. I slept. Even with a burden of murder on my soul. Yes, some few inquiries were made about my wife's whereabouts, and a search of the house was conducted, but nothing was discovered. Oh, I finally could look upon my future secure. Yes?
Good day, sir. Sorry to disturb you again, sir.
No. It's you, Sergeant. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, they're still puzzled about your wife's disappearance.
Puzzled, huh? Well, so am I. Well,
some of her friends have been around at the police station.
What's that got to do with me, huh? You've already searched ours twice. What do you want?
Oh, I know, sir, but... Well, the captain sent me and the constable here to look around just once more, to be sure there's no clues been overlooked. This will be the last time, sir. Only a matter of routine. We won't bother you again.
All right. Come in.
Thank you, sir. Come on, Joe.
Right.
Where would you like to look first?
Well, we might as well begin with the cellar.
Cellar, huh? All right, yes. Right down these steps. I'll come with you.
Yes, I always say searching a house is like getting ahead in the world. You start at the bottom.
Yes, I see. It's very funny.
Well, come on, Constable. Get to work.
Right.
While they searched, I folded my arms and watched. As before, they discovered nothing, but as they were about to depart, the glee in my heart was too strong to be restrained. I burned to say but one word, yes, just one word, by way of triumph. And as they started up the steps, I said, say, have you noticed, this is a very well-constructed house, you know. Hey, gentlemen, you're not going, are you? Yes, it's an excellently well-constructed house. You've never seen such a well-constructed house in a frenzy of my bravado upon that very portion of the brickwork behind which stood the corpse of my wife. I rapped with my cane. But may heaven deliver me From the arch fiend! What was that?
Mother of mercy, what was that?
Wind, probably.
Wind? That's not the wind. It came when you hit this wall here.
Whatever it is, it's behind these bricks, Sarge.
Here, take this crowbar and knock that wall down.
Right.
Wait a minute, you...
Keep quiet, you...
Can't do this.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
Upstairs.
You stay right here.
Hey, this is new plaster. It hasn't even had time to set yet.
Pull it down.
Right. Here she comes. Look out.
There's what we're looking for, all right. His wife's body.
What's that horrible-looking thing sitting on her head?
It's the cat!
How did that cat get in there?
I know how it got in there. Yes, I know. I must have walled it up in a tomb. And I never knew it, no. Look at that red mouth. Those burning eyes. You hideous. You beast. You monster. You are the devil. You made me a murderer. Now for 3 days you've been in there, waiting to send me to the gallows. Well, the hangman will get me. Yes, I hope you're satisfied. I hope you're satisfied.
Next week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you an adaptation of one of our star's greatest motion pictures, Crime and Punishment, based on the book by Fyodor Dostoevsky, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron.
We heard episode 12, Mystery in the Air, The Black Cat, with an original air date of the 18th of September, 1947, starring Peter Lorre, who I've been featuring here this morning on the Grand Hour. Peter Lorre was a very noted actor, sinister actor, kind of grouped in there with Bela Lugosi, Vincent Price, Boris Karloff. Like I alluded before the program, he spent most of the mid to late 40s doing small TV roles and radio appearances. I guess, according to the Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio, there was another show titled Mystery in the Air that aired at the same time, but it didn't star Peter Lorre. That was in 1945. However, both versions of Mystery in the Air filled in the summer slot for the vacationing Abbott and Costello show. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening. Yes, this show was previously recorded and brought to you by Tufts Freeform Radio.